We'll look at chapter 2. I want us to look at what's called the royal law. The royal law. This thing just really spoke to me, and I want to share with you, beginning with verse 1 of James chapter 2. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there comes into your assembly a man with a golden ring and in nice clothes, and there comes in also a poor man in cheap clothes, and you have respect to him who wears the nice clothing, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor, you stand there or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" You get that? You're judging which person is better than another person, right? "Are you not then partial in yourselves, become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." Now you see what the royal law is. You love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are censured by the law as a violator. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet sin in one point, he's guilty of all the law, of violating all the law. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, yet you murder, you become a violator of the law. So speak and so do as those who should be judged by the law of liberty. Remember that, law of liberty, royal law and law of liberty, okay? For he shall have judgment without mercy who has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. You know, I was just reading this and looking at this, and it's so appropriate even to today. You have to guard against partiality. I don't care who you are. You have to guard against it. Otherwise, you'll find yourself, and you see this so often, showing favoritism to the more elite. And it's amazing to me how many churches target the rich. And they'll tell you that. We're targeting this segment of people. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't do that, or I'd have been in trouble. And the body of Christ is not to do that. God has not called the body of Christ to target a caste. This word of God is to go to everyone, everywhere. And there's such a move in the world today to divide. I don't know if you've paid that attention to the whole agenda, but the agenda is division. And here's the reason. If you can bring a division, then you weaken a nation, a house, or whatever, a church. If you bring division to it, you weaken it. And so you look at what's going on even today here in America. There's a thing that's dealing with partiality, trying to pit this race against this race, or to make this race a superior race to that race. And this has been done in the church. not just in the world, but it's infiltrated the church. And God wants us to come to the place that we look at people like He looks at us. When He talks about neighbor there, actually it's your fellow man. If you want to start splitting hairs over who your neighbor is, it's your fellow man. Okay. Now, let's go to this royal law. What is the royal law? He's not talking about the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, there's a contrast here. The law of Moses was very judgmental. You understand, it's a law that's set, and it will condemn you. It shows you the error of your way, and then there is a punishment commensurate to whatever that error is. But not so with the royal law. And it's interesting that it's called a royal law, because this is a law that Jesus practiced. This is a law that God practices. It's a law of love. You don't treat people like they treat you. You treat people like you want them to treat you. We often call that a golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And so, as members of the body of Christ, we should be ordering our lives by a royal law, not a judgmental law. Not legalism. Not rules and regulations and all this type of stuff. But a law that loves someone as you love yourself. Now, what's interesting about this is He calls this a law of liberty. We're to treat other people like we want to be treated, understanding that God is going to judge us not by the law of Moses, but by the law of liberty. How have I treated other people? So if I judge and show no compassion, that's what mercy means there. If I judge people and show no compassion, then that's how I'll be judged. And so you're setting yourself up for the way you're judged. Now He said, you remember that you're to say and to do things in regard to the law of liberty. You treat people like you're going to be treated with the law of liberty. Don't be judgmental. And if you're going to use the law, then you've got to use all the law. If you're going to use the law of Moses, you've got to use all of it. You can't violate one little thing. If you lie, you either keep the law or you violate the law. It's not I keep 50% or I keep 75%. No. If you violate one area, you break all of it. You broke the law. Okay? It's not I broke a rule of the law. You broke the law. But with the royal law, we have been set free from that judgmental law that condemns you. As a matter of fact, you look at Colossians and it talks about how Jesus has blotted out the handwriting that was against us. What handwriting is that? It was the law, the condemning law. He has blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, nailing it to His cross. In other words, He's took that out of the way. And so we're not judged in a condemning way of all the errors of your way. Think about this. If God would judge us off of our past, we'd all be in trouble. You with me? And when God forgives, God wipes the slate clean. He cleanses from all unrighteousness with that forgiveness. And so God's not holding anything against us. God loves us and treats us like He wants us to love Him and treat Him. He sets the pace. He's the demonstrator. I'm going to treat you like I want you to treat me. I will lay down my life for you. I'm your friend. A friend will lay his life down. for a friend, right? Now, this is the way that we're supposed to be operating today in the world with the royal law. Now, you know, this is somewhat difficult to teach because people will take and run in the wrong direction with it. This does not say you condone sin in any way, form, or fashion. God does not condone sin. But what God will do is give us the opportunity to confess. We judge ourselves. And if we'll judge ourselves, then we're not judged. You follow me? And so God is not wanting us just to bring the hammer down on people. You did wrong. We're going to deal with it. And I'm telling you, this is the way religion operates. You're talking about bringing the gavel down, they'll bring it down in a second. And it's an interesting thing. They're not interested in you. They're interested in protecting a reputation, if I can say it that way. Okay? I can think of different instances where the royal law was not practiced. The law of Moses was practiced. You violated, we kick you out of our organization. We don't want your name associated with our organization because you make our organization look bad. Well, why don't your organization reach out to them and make them look good? Why not restore one in a spirit of meekness, you who are spiritual, and that'll identify many people. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, what do? You restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self. You know, you're not invincible. You can trip, you can fall, you can make a mistake. That could be you. And so we are to execute any judgment in mercy, compassion. You with me? Treating the person like you want to be treated. Now here's another thing I find about God. I don't see him putting people on probation. I'm pretty interesting. Religion will put you on probation. You with me? When God forgives, God forgets, and God restores. You know God didn't put David on probation. You ever thought about it? God dealt with him. He didn't condone it. But he didn't remove him from the position, did he? From being king. There's things you deal with, but you deal with it with the compassion. God's wanting us to deal in the world with our fellow men with compassion instead of wishing them dead. And I'm telling you, the church today, you know, if you just turn the church loose, I think they just wipe out everybody that's in opposition to them. Well, if God did that, he'd eradicate most people off the earth. Because how many people walk in total agreement with God? And God wants us to understand how he loves us and how he demonstrates that love and how he lives by his own rules. And we have one law. And it's a law that liberates, not a law that brings people into bondage. Whom the Son sets free is free. You with me? And he wants us to walk in that freedom, but he also wants us to allow other people to walk in that freedom. Now here again, I'm not saying condoning sin. I'm saying the error of the way is revealed and the person has the opportunity to repent and get forgiveness and then go on with life. Not with some black cloud hanging over your head, some stigma that follows you everywhere you go. So we practice the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. No, I go back to the partiality. If you love your fellow man as yourself, then to whom will you be impartial or partial? No one. You'll treat people equally. It doesn't matter their race, their gender, their caste. None of that makes any difference to you. A human being is a human being. And the thing of it is, God made us all. So we're going to pick and choose which one of God's people we want to hang out with, which ones we approve of and those that we disapprove of. You think about this. A person that is in sin is bound by sin. The Bible teaches that, right? And we were all guilty. We were all at one time bound by sin. When we accepted Jesus Christ, He freed us from that sin. And He held nothing over our head. And so we're not to look at people in a way that we just want them wiped out, but that God would forgive them, that God would open their eyes, that God would restore them. And instead of the church treating people in a condescending way, I'm better than you are. Just think of what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. That person could, laying in the ditch drunk, could be you. I remember years ago, I was driving to the service that Sunday morning, and past where the winos, you know, slept out, laying there, and I look over there, and the Lord says, I love that person as much as I love you. Well, that's sort of sobering, because you think, well, he ought to love me better. I'm doing good. I'm doing right. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. No, God says, I love him just as much as I love you. I died for him at the same time I died for you. Think about it. But we tend to look down our nose at people. And here again, I'm not talking about condoning sin. I'm talking about realizing that person is a victim. They're a victim of sin. They're a victim bound by the devil. You think about this. The person who kills is also a victim. So you have two victims involved. The person that committed the murder is bound by the devil, influenced by the devil. But and I'm not saying that there's no judgment to that. I'm not saying there's no punishment there. But I'm saying that they should have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. The thief on the cross was executed because of his wrongdoing. But he had the opportunity to accept Jesus as the Savior. You with me? And we need to give other people that opportunity. And the church needs to stand up and properly represent God instead of just doing everything like the world does. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. I'll show you. You mess with me, I'll mess with you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's not the royal law. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Royal law. Stephen, don't lay this sin to their charge. Don't credit them with this sin. Royal law. You understand? That's not the law of Moses. This is a law of love and compassion. See, the royal law is, the whole thing is dominated by love. Love for God first. If you love God, you have to love your fellow man. John writes and he says, don't say, and I'm paraphrasing, don't say you love God when you hate your brother. You can't hate your brother and love God. You with me? And I'm telling you, the church has been practicing a lot of wrong things. I'm talking about the corporate church, you know, people in the thing, religion, that practice the wrong thing. No, we've got to develop a love for God. And understand I said develop. How many of you know love's fruit of the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit is developed. Would you agree to that? I don't care if it's a fruit tree, or if it's some kind of bush or plant or a person. Fruit is developed. It goes through stages. It goes through a maturity. And so we get the revelation of love, how God loves us. And most people don't have that revelation yet. They don't have the revelation of what the love of God really is and what Jesus Christ has really done for humanity that was undeserving as it could be. But when you understand the love of God, you become mature in that love to the point that you can practice that love. I'm telling you, it drives out fear. And fear torments. Perfect love, complete love, mature love drives out fear. That's done through this royal law of love. You understand who God is. God is love. That doesn't mean that God doesn't deal with things. Parents who love their children deal with them. As a matter of fact, the proverb says, if you don't, you hate your child. Don't tell me you love your child when you won't discipline that child. It's contrary to the Word of God. So it's not that God doesn't correct His children. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects. But the key word is love. What's He doing? What's in your best interest? He's trying to keep you from being destroyed. And so He practices this royal law. Not, I'm going to give you what you deserve. No, I'm going to take what you deserve. And I'm going to execute judgment in mercy. I should kill you, but I'm going to forgive you. I could, but I won't. Remember the woman that was brought to Jesus? What did religion want to do? They're all for killing her. But when Jesus started revealing things to them, all of a sudden they get embarrassed for whatever reason and they drop the rocks. And I would recommend everybody drop your rocks. Because you're not in a position to be stoning anybody. Mama used to tell us if you live in a glass house, you can't afford to throw rocks. Somebody will throw them back at you. And then you're in trouble, right? So what did he say? Woman, where are your accusers? You know what he did? He took the law out of the way. He took the accusations out of the way. Now there's no witnesses. And when you remove the witnesses, there's no death penalty. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. But don't sin anymore. He didn't say, go on your merry way and do whatever you want to do. I'm going to give you a second chance. You with me? Now we're talking about a royal law. Loving that woman as much as he loved himself. Would you want to be stoned? Would you want to be killed? Then why is it we want the judgment executed on other people? But when it comes to us, we always want mercy. The royal law says, I will give you mercy. I'll give you the mercy that I want. This is going to be liberty that I judge you with, not bondage. See, the law of Moses will bring you into bondage. The law of liberty will set you free. We're to set people free. Do you know that's really the basis of the whole gospel message? Is to set people free. And the bottom line is, I dare say most people don't even know they're bound. Jesus told the Jews of his day, those who believed in him, not just the Jews, those who believed him. He said, now if you'll continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We've never been in bondage to anybody. They resented the statement. They took offense to what he says. And I'm going to tell you, so many people are that way today. Well, I'm not in bondage. Well, you just revealed you are. When you make statements like that, you just revealed that you are in bondage. People need to be liberated from that. How do you do that? You present the good news to them. Not telling them how bad they are. Nobody ever had to tell me how bad I was. I knew more than they did. You know more about you than anybody else knows about you. You know how you think. They just send some actions here and there. The amazing thing is God knows how you think. God reads your heart and forgives you anyway. The one who knows you the best, the most, loves you the most. Pretty incredible when you think about it. And I believe what he's saying to us is, I want you to practice what I'm preaching to you and implement the royal law. You say you love your neighbor, your fellow man. Demonstrate it. You won't be jealous of him. You won't think you're better than he is. As a matter of fact, when you start practicing this royal law, you will prefer people over yourself. And I'm telling you, we need to get a revelation of this. Okay? That where we see other people's needs are more important than mine. And if I'll meet their needs, mine will be met. It's just a principle of the Lord. It's a spiritual principle that if I'll take care of others, the Lord will take care of me. You understand? He wants us to get this revelation. You're liberated to liberate, not to bring people into bondage. See, religion will pull them into bondage. Not even understand. They think they're liberated. Just like the Jews of Jesus' day. They thought they were walking in liberty. They had the right pedigree. I'm the seed of Abraham. And you read in Galatians and you'll find what Paul said about that natural seed of Abraham. He said, he made a contrast there with Hagar and Ishmael. He said, the Jerusalem that now exists is like Hagar and Ishmael. They're in bondage. Thinking you're liberated, when in reality you're not practicing liberty. He said, but the Jerusalem from above, the spiritual promise, the free people. God has set you free. Don't you bind yourself up with wrong thinking. And for goodness sakes, don't bind others up with wrong thinking and wrong confession, or don't attempt to. Liberate people. There's many occasions where we can make a person look good or bad. Choice is ours. Jesus will make you look good. I can't find anywhere in the scripture Jesus going about gossiping about people, airing their dirty laundry and all that. Do you know what this person did? Do you know what that person did? God knows what you've done. But aren't you glad He doesn't broadcast it and put it on the news and all this other stuff? Now, just thinking today, how it's interesting how politicians never talk of their merit, of what they will do for the nation. You look at it, they're discrediting and slandering and doing everything in their power to make someone else look bad. Well, to me, you're conveying a wrong message to me. You're really showing me your heart. Your heart is one of condemnation. You understand? And I'm not saying things shouldn't be dealt with, but there's a way to deal with them. And the way to deal with them is not with a judgmental attitude, but for the grace of God, that could be me. And so if you're truly concerned about it, then seek the counsel of God as to what you're to do about it. And if He doesn't tell you what to do about it, then don't talk about it. Talk's cheap. We need to put action out there. We need to demonstrate to the world what people of God are really like. Are actually a people of love, not hate. There are people that will accommodate and come to your rescue, not people that kick you while you're down. They practice a royal law. They love you. They love you. God practices that royal law. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we want everybody to get right before we start loving them, don't we? What's wrong with that picture? Let's liberate people. And you can't liberate if you're in bondage. How's a prisoner going to spring another prisoner? No, you're going to have some help. You with me? And so the first thing to do is get liberated yourself. And the thing that's going to liberate you is the love of God. The love of God is what ultimately will set you free, because you're going to get a revelation of Jesus Christ. And you become one with Jesus Christ and you start walking with Jesus Christ, you're not in bondage. That's why He says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because you're walking in freedom. You're walking in liberty. You're walking in peace. You're walking in faith when you walk in Jesus. And when you do that, you're going to fulfill the royal law, because Jesus shows no partiality. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? All right. I feel like that's what we were supposed to deliver. My instruction was to declare the royal law. And so, to the best of my ability, that's what we've done. Amen. And I thank God for the love of God. Amen. And the grace of God. Lord, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You be before You. Amen. You guys have a great week.